is the 6th of August. What's so important about the 6th of August? Well, 12 days ago was the 25th of July. And you who were here know that we celebrated Christmas. And the rest of you who were not here, you celebrated it quite likely the 25th of December. What's wrong with celebrating Christmas in July? Nothing. We should celebrate it perhaps every day. And if you are acquainted with the liturgical calendar of the church, you know that on the 6th of January is Epiphany Day, or the Festival of the Wise Men. Therefore, if we celebrated Christmas on the 25th of July, the 6th of August will be Epiphany Day, and so be it. Now, you may be a little confused about this mixing up of time, but if you open up the Red Hymnary and look at the various festivals of the year as they are listed according to the secular calendar, you see that the day after Christmas is St. Stephen's Day, Martyr, the story of Stephen from the book of Acts. The 28th of December is the Slaughter of the Innocents, another martyr day. And this took place after the wise men went to Bethlehem. And the trip the wise men took to Bethlehem, or Epiphany, is the 6th of January. So it's all mixed up. So there's nothing wrong with celebrating Epiphany on the 6th of August. I am a one-man crusade to change the date of Christmas. I wish the Christian world would celebrate Christmas the 6th of January. Originally, that's the day they did. Just imagine the opportunity that you would have of taking advantage of the post-Christmas sales. The poor old post office will be recuperated by that time, we hope, and get rid of your mail on time. But of course, the secular world would jump on the bandwagon and get in with us on the 6th of January also. I have a peculiarity. I do not send any Christmas cards. We get quite a few Christmas cards. Then we pile them up, and if the pile gets too big, we make the second pile. And we enjoy receiving cards. Oh, I will be honest and say that I'm a little upset when I get a card from somebody that has this wonderful proclamation on it, on the slick page where there's some gold leaf and a holly bush and printed season's greetings. Boy, that covers a multitude of sins. The season's greetings, and you know how some can treat that season. And then they're so lazy that they have their name printed. Some of these do not get an Epiphany letter from me. I send Epiphany letters, and I get writer's cramp by adding a little bit in the bottom of the page. And I think that these letters are enjoyed because, the 6th of December, you get something in the mail. And here we find the festival of Epiphany, where the wise men sought and found the Savior. Thus, with this brief introduction, turn to hymn number 52, As With Gladness Men of Old. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him, and he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And thou, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall there come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. These are thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Be unto you in peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Epiphany means appearing, or to show forth, or to reveal a way. And the word epiphany is used that this star, this miraculous star, appeared to the wise men, and they showed them the way to the Bethlehem. The names for these men are all varied, and today I looked at the New Jerusalem Bible, which is lying on the porch by the bus stop as you go in the back way into the hotel, and the name that the New Jerusalem Bible uses is astrologers. Other names are wise men, magi, the kings of the Orient, sages. You can call them whatever you like. I think there should be another revision. I attended a district convention of our church in May coming up here, and they don't call anybody a chairman anymore. They call him a chairperson. So I think we'd better go and agree with this present movement and refer to them as wise persons. You may take all the liberties you desire. Botticelli, the Renaissance painter, was one of the first to tackle this business. How many wise men came to adore the Christ child? And his magnificent painting of the adoration of the Christ child, there are about 7 or 8 wise men kneeling around. And I'm going to look that painting up and see if there are any ladies in there. Are there? No wise person, our artist tells me. But you put some ladies in there also, because this business of wise men refers to people, and there are female people and boy people and girl people. I like the word wise men, though. They weren't wise guys or a starry-eyed intellectual with a 4-point scholastic average, nor were they some of these wisies who write home from college to father and say, Dear Dad, I'm broke. I need some money. We got the dean locked up in his office. Going to be a hot time around here. Let's have some loot. Wisies. These wise men from the east looked for the evidence of the Almighty's powers up in the firmament above, the stars. And there's something mysterious about the whole thing. And I wonder if we'll ever have adequate information about that star that guided them from the east. That's all it says. How far the east was, we don't know. But yet, when you become interested in the celestial bodies above, if you ever camp on a high ridge around here, and I suggest you do it in September when it gets dark by 7 o'clock and you got nothing else to do but crawl into your sleeping bag, and you can look at this TV show of the ancient people, and you can enjoy it for hours. There are countless stars. Have you ever tried counting them? I did that one night. Almost went out of my mind. And if you use a telescope, you magnify them into the millions and the billions and the trillions. Staggering. the vastness of space, and you have to use one more terminology, of time. The astronauts got to the moon with incredible speed when the last rocket, the booster, was fired. That's pretty fast stuff, one of these missiles. I lived right near Vandenberg Air Base in California, and once in a while we have a spectacular that goes off when they practice shooting missiles to the far Pacific. And the Air Force is goofing a little bit. What they should do is have many of these shots go off after just about 10 minutes after dusk. And that missile climbs way up there, and you ought to see how the sky looks. Angels and streamers and stars, and the telephone lines are swamped all the way from Nevada, all the way from San Diego, they call up. What's going on there? A fantastic display. But of course the Air Force goofs and they don't do that. They get their money from the taxpayers at only $1 million, $2 million, or a couple of million bucks every time they take a crack at one of these things. And these astronauts, they blast it off, and it takes 3 days to get to the moon. And the time-lapse communication from the moon to the Space Center is 3 seconds. And right now we have Viking 1 sitting on Mars. It takes 15 minutes for the communication from there to reach the Earth in Pasadena. How'd you like to be up on the moon? You're going to call up Aunt Emmy. So you dial her number, you wait 15 minutes before Aunt Emma's phone rings. And she gets to there, hello. You wait 15 more minutes before you hear hello, and you wonder what in the world you're going to ask her. Just a half an hour. That's just to Mars. And if these astronauts would decide to go to our nearest star, which would be the sun, took them 3 days to get to the moon, and if there is a possibility, a remote possibility, of getting to this star, namely the sun, without being fried and radioactive materials and all that, to the moon it's 250,000 miles. To the sun it is double the 250,000. You got 500,000 miles. And then in front of 500,000 miles, hook on 92 million more. And at the speed of our capsules, it would take 1,104 more days to get just to that little speck, the sun. Divide that by 365, you got 3 years. We have some interesting forums here. I don't go to too many, but I remember going to one that was a dandy. And I thought one fella asked a pretty stupid question. But please, no honest question is ever dumb or stupid. This one was. And here it is. He was greatly concerned if the church was doing anything to train missionaries to go out into outer space to convert those people up in some planet that might be inhabited, you know, people with antennas and ears like this and four legs and stuff like that, and green. I thought it was a good question. At least he had an evangelical concern. Now, we can't go any faster than the space capsules. We measure speed by light. And we talked about sound traveling, how slow that is from just Mars. Just imagine, let's go to a star that's just one light year away. That's next door. And by the time these brave missionaries got aboard the capsule and shut the door, they'd wear out 9,602 different dentures before they even got there. What are they going to do past the time? They can't do cribbage or pinochle or scrabble or chess. When they got there, hey, what am I here for? They'd forget what they were going for. Oh, the vastness of space and time in this universe. And yet God has seen fit that on this little measly planet, part of this little speck of a solar system in which there are just 3 billion people, to be concerned about them. And he saw it fit to invade this planet with his son, Jesus Christ, who were sought and found by wise men. And no matter who or what you are, this son has a great concern for you. You're precious. The wise men found him. They were truly wise, weren't they? We don't know much about that star of Bethlehem. My, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and I'm sure the angels say, "Why, you nitwit, these weren't big questions after all." So, you see, I'm looking at heaven from my earthly viewpoint. There it'll be all different. But that star kind of perplexes us a bit, and I think the best answer to it, I think I used it last year and on Epiphany Day we had in August. If you ever get to San Francisco, the only place I know, maybe other planetariums have it, but San Francisco and the Golden Gate Park has a planetarium, and every December they have a showing called The Star of Bethlehem. How many have seen that? How many? Oh my, we have several wise people here. I always thought the planetarium was a spooky place. When I go in the Museum of Natural History there, I'd open the door and peek in, and it was dark in there, and it was like a stadium, and in the pit in the middle was a horrible looking machine which is used to project all. They can make all of the stars and these constellations up in the ceiling. And so I finally was persuaded and I went to the Star of Bethlehem, and that was interesting. They gave all of the possibilities that possibly could exist whereby these wise men would follow what was called the Star of Bethlehem, the conjunction of planets and comets and all kinds of things. And at the end of the lecturer gave a wonderful conclusion. He said, "If you believe the scriptural account of this, that the star stood over the house where the child was, then you must believe in the supernatural." I like that. He was honest. And that's what you must believe. His birth was supernatural. And of all things, Easter was supernatural. I like it. Whatever the star might have been, it wasn't sufficient to give all of the information to these Oriental scholars. They had to go and dig a little deeper than the star that guided them. And so they asked the number one man, namely Herod, who got all of his scholars, and they went to God's book, the Bible. And there's where the answer is, even today. Some years ago in the library, I got a book called The Lookout's Wife, which was written by a woman who shared a lookout in the Forest Service in the Salmon National Forest, which is in the central eastern part of Idaho, a rather rugged part of the state. And it was a rather interesting book, and our interests were mutual, to be sure. And in the end of the book, when they got back outside to civilization, they happened to go to church. Obviously, they weren't very chummy with that institution. And she made this notation in this particular chapter that they went to a little church that was loaded with kind of sleepy, frowsy people, and the preaching was of the same nature. And here these poor saps were trying to understand God in this building that cramped you, when you could only understand God on top of a mountain. And there see God. And whenever you hear anybody say that I can worship God in nature, ask them, what God? And it will be the God of that person's imagination. I, too, lived on a lookout. I wasn't there with a wife. I goofed there. Just me and God. 15 days would go by before I'd see a human being. And I never had a finer summer in my life. thrilled unspeakably by Idaho sunsets, thrilled by all that grew and smelled and flew and crawled and hopped. But all of this never said a word. Never once did I hear a neighboring peak tell me, "Ernie, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Nature is silent. Only his word reveals God. That's what the Bible did for the wise men. And at Herod's demand, the scribes, they found the prophecy of the place of the Messiah's birth. And that's the only place you will find the true meaning of life, of God's historical action here in this world for man's redemption. When they were informed, the men continued their search. They weren't disappointed, and they set out from Jerusalem, and lo, there was a star. What gladness they felt. And this, of course, and we sang that, the first three stanzas of that hymn, "As with gladness men of old." And look at the second and the third stanza, the joy. This is a manifestation of this business of Christianity. I don't mean it's got to be this, "I got the joy down in my heart." If you got it, fine and dandy, but it's a joy in here. I don't know if they hollered whoopee, but they had gladness. There's that star again. And they followed it, and it stopped where the boy Jesus was. And they found him. Joy. I saw an interesting television program, an hour and a half, not counting the commercials, about Mark Twain, who was a great American humorist. Made people laugh. I've enjoyed Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. I'm sure many of you have also. I don't think that this particular broadcasting production company would reproduce another play on Mark Twain in the latter days of his life. When he lost all of his faith, well, he didn't have much in the beginning, and he became a bitter misanthrope. No faith, no hope, no joy. And yet he was one of the foremost humorists of America. The wise men had this joy. They found the object of their quest. Our present age is an age of travel, to be sure. And yesterday's Spokane Review had a picture of the landscape of Mars. Just imagine that thing was shot off last year in order to get to Mars. We have a friend who worked in Pasadena on this particular project. It was a lot of fun to hear him. We won't know until next year what happens. Just imagine. And when Apollo 8, that first manned orbit around the moon, you remember when that happened? Man had never been in the back of the moon. And the drama and the suspense of the Space Center in Houston and the danger also involved. What would happen over there when communication stopped as soon as he got on the backside of the moon? Well, there's no danger marking your soul's journey to Bethlehem, let me tell you that, where you can learn that God's Son came to redeem you. He left heaven for this planet for a matchless purpose. In this presentation about Mark Twain, he had this to say, very, very caustic and critical of mankind. "Man is the only animal that declares war on himself." It's true. But he doesn't go on and say why. And the reason for the inhumanity of man is a word that has been sadly neglected in its sin. That's why this child came onto this planet, to be a savior from sin. Think of it for a moment. And he must be found. And when you find him, there's confession. That's got to be in there. And then you get forgiveness. And then you get joy. And how this manifested, it's in different ways. What gifts? Grace be unto you and peace, you hear me say. Peace, joy. At his feet they put gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts, costly. I hope these fellows weren't kings like you sing at the Christmas program, "We Three Kings of the Orient Are." Well, they've got the stuff for it. I hope they're just ordinary old wanderers around some eastern desert, and they came with fabulous gifts, no strings attached. What did Mary and Joseph do with them? I don't know. To get to Egypt? I don't know. There they gave these gifts. Then after they left and returned to their country in another way, that stinker Herod, frustrated, had all boy babies age 1 to 2 slaughtered. Incredible. What weeping by the mothers, fathers, older brothers and sisters. That's man. And even before that, and up to this day, Satan uses swords and spears and slaughters characters, hope, faith, infidelity, trust. He's still active. How we need to be wise men and find the Savior. You know something? It's great to be a Christian. It's great to be a Christian. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you came and invaded this earth not in a razzmatazz fashion with stars and drums and cannons and shooting rockets, but you came as a baby. The human approach to do something for us in order that we might call you Savior. Help us to find you and never let you go. Amen.